Alright, so we are continuing our study on the Antichrist. And I think we are on page 20 in the study guide. At least that's what I was told. And we've already kind of looked at some things about the Antichrist. And I'm hoping to finish it. So let me get to my spot. We've already seen that he's a great deceiver. He will be a great deceiver. We've also seen that he is opposed, totally and completely opposed to Jesus Christ. And now what we're going to look at is the third thing about the Antichrist. And this will be on your study guide. And I don't have any more study guides. I handed them all out. So if you need one, I do apologize. So number three, along with him being a deceiver, and also along with him being an imitation Christ, he's also going to be a performer of signs and wonders. A performer of signs and wonders. The Antichrist is going to perform false signs and wonders to deceive many. That's part of his deception package. And 2 Thessalonians 2:9, we read, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So when he shows up, he's going to show up with a miraculous power. And it's just going to send everybody agog. You know, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. And this is what kind of troubles me concerning the many charlatans and seducers that we see in our own time who claim to have miraculous powers, and they draw thousands into these huge arenas, and they claim that they can heal people and restore people's hearing and restore people's sight. And I don't know how many times these fellows and these gals have been proven to be just what they are, you know, false, just gimmicks and stuff. But yet, people flock to these people, and it, to me, it's just priming the pump. It's just simply priming the pump. So on your study guide, this will be a major part of the Antichrist deceiving the nations, as well as the Jews when he appears upon the scene. He'll come just performing all of these miraculous signs. And the Lord said in Luke 11:29, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. You know, that's what the Jews are all about, is about signs. That's what Paul commented on in 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign. Remember when Moses said, you know, they're not going to believe me. How are they going to know that I am a prophet sent from you? And God gave him those two signs with his staff and in his hand. Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So that's something that is going to be very, very prevalent. Very, very prevalent when the Antichrist shows up. So on your study guide, there will come this person that will perform signs and lying wonders, so much so that he will even imitate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Revelation 13:3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So something's going to happen with this individual. He's going to get wounded in the head. He's going to die by all appearance. And I'm thinking on the third day, he's going to just pop right up. And people are going to go, wow, this is amazing. This is no ordinary human being. No ordinary human being. And I think that'll be that strong delusion I think that Paul may refer to. Now here we have a resurrected leader, a resurrected man. And again, that's why I'm kind of leery of these folks today who claim to have miracles. It's just priming the pump. The Antichrist, this is also on your guide, he'll have a false prophet that will also perform miracles in his presence. So miracles are going to be a very big thing during this time. All these lying signs and wonders. So this false prophet is also going to be a part of this. Revelation 13:11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Who else brought fire down from heaven to earth? You remember? It was Elijah. Yep, Elijah. Counterfeits, imitators. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So they're going to create this image of this beast. They're going to set up this image. So on your study guide, they will even animate or bring to life some image of the beast. Perhaps some idol or robot, who knows what it will be. But it'll appear to come to life, and they'll be told to worship this image, this idol. Revelation 13:15, and he gave power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So this thing's going to come to life. So on your study guide, artificial intelligence, AI, is being touted as the next great revolution that will impact all of society. And we're seeing that even today. We're seeing that even today. Even my own phone has AI on it now, which is very frustrating, because it tries to think for me and guess what I want, and it's just frustrating. And so this AI, it's being touted as the gateway to improve the lives of all the inhabitants of the world. This is an article that I read. Delivering significant positive benefits to all of mankind, improving medical diagnosis, improving national security, benefiting the global economy, and many more wonderful benefits to serve man. So this AI is going to become integrated, kind of like a web that stretches out across the planet. And what is the debate today with AI? What happens if it becomes self-aware? Isn't it? That's the big debate. That's the big scare. What if this AI technology becomes self-aware? Well, guess what? It will. In this idol, in this image, it'll become self-aware. And that's what the Revelation 13:11 and 13:16 talk about. Along with this, on number four, the Antichrist will claim divine authority. He'll claim divine authority. The Antichrist will claim authority and demand worship. He'll demand worship. And we've already talked a little bit about this in our previous discussions. But that's really why Satan fell in the first place, isn't it? He wanted to be worshipped like God. He wanted God's throne. He wanted God's throne. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that's that apostasy that we've been looking at, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. So whether it's Islam or Hinduism or whatever it is, whatever is worshipped on this planet, He's going to proclaim himself preeminent over all of that. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And, you know, what better time to do that than when he resurrects? Right? Who's going to argue? Who's going to argue? Then number four, concerning the Antichrist's appearance, number four, there must be a nation of Israel with its capital as Jerusalem. Now, guess what? That's already here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Israel took control of East Jerusalem in 1967 after the Six-Day War, when the Arabs tried to destroy Israel. Israel then merged East Jerusalem with West Jerusalem, and they extended the municipal boundary of the city. Later in July 1980, the Knesset, which is the parliament of Israel's government, passed the Jerusalem Law as part of the country's basic law, which declared Jerusalem the united capital of Israel. So in 1980, they said, nope, Jerusalem is our capital. What caused quite a stir in the United Nations and among the other countries. And then on December 6, 2017, President Trump formally recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moved the American embassy, I think it was in Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem. That caused quite a stir among the nations of the world as well. This is important. This is on your study guide. For Jerusalem is the chosen city of God. The place is named there. It's the chosen city. As far back as 1 Kings 11:36, and unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light alway before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. 2 Chronicles 6:6, but I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now who is the son of David? Jesus Christ. Who will one day rule from Jerusalem? Fulfillment of Scripture. That's that fig tree that we studied about in detail. That fig tree is already here. Jerusalem is already its capital. There's just one thing that's missing. Number five, there must be a temple existing in Jerusalem when the Antichrist comes into power. There must be a temple. There is no temple there right now on the Mount. What is it? The Dome of the Rock that's up there? That's what's up there now. But there's no Jewish temple up there. And then when this temple is going to be built, that's up for speculation. You know, some believe it'll occur prior to the rapture of the church. Some believe it'll occur after the rapture of the church. You know, I don't know. I don't have a clear answer on that for myself. I've heard good arguments for both, but I myself, I'm not really hard and fast on that. But that there will be a temple is for certain. There will be a temple, it is certain. You know, what I did discover, what's really surprising to me, is that the majority of the Jewish people in Israel do not want the temple built. And the reason why they don't want the temple built is because of the political volatility of the region. I mean, we already know that if they dare start laying brick on that Temple Mount, there's going to be an uprising. The Islamists and the Arabs, they're going to protest that. So that's one of the reasons why they don't want to make the situation any more volatile than it really is, than it is right now. So the majority of your Jewish people in Israel do not want that temple built. But there is a movement that is gaining momentum. That is gaining momentum in building this temple. And they've already got the materials, the furnishings, they've got the clothing, everything. They even have a red heifer to dedicate it. They, you know, they pretty much have everything put together, and on several websites that I've gone to that deal specifically with the building of a new temple in Jerusalem, almost every one of them says that we've got everything together and it will take at least 7 years to build it. Now, isn't that interesting? 7 years to build it. That's kind of interesting to me, how that number seven keeps popping up. In fact, they said, these websites said, if we want, we can begin construction today. The only obstacle is the Dome of the Rock, which is the third most holiest place in Islam, because supposedly that's where Muhammad ascended into heaven. So that's the third most holy site for Islam. And this again brings us back to the Antichrist, that may be key in the building of this temple. That could be a part of the peace agreement that he's going to put together. Somehow he's going to, this is speculation on my part, somehow he's going to get both of these parties to agree to allow the Jews to build their temple. It may be in a different location than the Dome of the Rock. I don't know. But somehow he'll figure it out, because this is also on your study guide. The only place to sit in the temple will be the ark, right? Will be the ark with its mercy seat flanked by the cherubim. So there's got to be a temple. They've already got the ark. They've got everything. All they need is a building. All they need is a building. And so this false prophet will demand that the beast be worshipped as your blank. And if one refuses, then death will be the ultimate price to pay. And of course, Revelation 13:16-17, I think I have that on your study guide. I think I've read those several times. And of course, on your study guide, this claim to divine authority was the devil's initial sin that brought about his expulsion from heaven. So he fell from his first estate as a covering cherub over the throne of God. And so he's going to try to claim that throne there in the Holy of Holies on the Ark of the Covenant. Isaiah 14:13 says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And that is the Antichrist. And that is the Antichrist. He's, to me, that's just ultimate pride, arrogance. Happy birthday. It's coming up, right? Okay. Or early happy birthday. Just another day, right? Okay, number five. I think it's number five, is it? Good. Thanks. That's a second number five? Okay, no doubt. So second number five, which is probably number six. It'll be a time of tribulation. A time of tribulation. The Antichrist is associated with a period of great tribulation and suffering for the Jews. Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened." That's going to be horrific times, folks. I mean, this world's seen some pretty tough times, but nothing compared to what's coming. Nothing compared to what's coming. I mean, even the worst what do you call those? It's not apostolic, it's apocalyptic. Even your worst apocalyptic movie out of Hollywood will not give credit to what's going to happen in these 7 years. The elect mentioned here is not the church. That's very important to understand, but rather the Jewish remnant that will not bow the knee or receive the mark of the beast. The Jewish remnant. There will be those who will oppose the Antichrist. He's not going to have free will over the people. There will be people who will rebel. And the passage in Matthew follows Jesus Christ's warning of the abomination of desolation. Is your blank? Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. There are going to be people who see this happen and know what's going on, and they will head out of Dodge. They will run. They will run. And that which occurs in 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, where he stands in the Holy of Holies and proclaims himself God, when they see that, there's going to be people, oh, we've been told about this. Get out of Jerusalem. Get out of Jerusalem. And they will flee for their lives. Mark 13:14 also says the same thing, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, and let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Flee to the mountains. So standing where it ought not. Standing is a sign of defiance, right? When you stand your ground, that's a sign of defiance. And that's what the Antichrist is. He's in defiance of God. He's in defiance of God. So I'm imagining, this is purely my imagination, I'm imagining this creature after he comes back from the dead, marching to the temple, entering into the Holy of Holies, standing there in prideful opposition before the Ark of the Covenant, and then strolling over to the Ark of the Covenant and plopping himself down in between the cherubim. And then proclaiming, I am. And then there's going to be people that are going to either fall down and worship him, or they're going to head for the hills. They're going to head for the hills. And do I have Daniel 11:31? That's a big long passage, isn't it? But what I want you to focus on, I think I have it underlined. Verse 36. Well, I have it underlined in mine. Verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will. That's talking about the Antichrist. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. So at the midpoint of the tribulation period, that starts the great tribulation, this creature will go into the Holy of Holies and sit himself on the ark and proclaim himself God. And that is the abomination of desolation. And that is when the great tribulation starts. That's when everything just comes down heavy. On your study guide, it's also called Jacob's Trouble, and it's been likened to a woman in travail, is your blank. Experienced by Jewish remnant and those tribulation saints who will be persecuted for refusing the mark and worshiping the beast. In Jeremiah 30:6, he says, asking now and see whether a man doth travail with child. No, I'm not going to say anything. Yeah, you guys know what I'm thinking. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. On your study guide, take note, it is Jacob's trouble. Speaking of the descendants of Jacob and not the true church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say the church's trouble. It's Jacob's trouble. The church, the true church, will not be there. The apostate church, yes. But not the true church. The true church will already be in heaven. So that's your next study. That's your next blank. The bride of Christ will have already been called up into glory by her bridegroom to receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, our faith and service waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're already going to be there with the Lord. This is Jacob's trouble. On your study guide, this time of the Antichrist's reveal will be so severe, it is likened to a woman in travail. The word is revealed. So, a little study on woman in travail. It's mentioned 12 times in the Bible. And 12 is the number of who? Israel. Right? 12 tribes. So 12 times this is mentioned in the Bible. Most often associated with woe is your blank. Is it on your study guide? Okay, good. Pain, sorrows, fear, judgment, crying out, labor, feebleness. So, whoa.
So does travail mean like labor?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a woman being attacked.
Right. Yeah, travail, right. Trouble, yeah, danger.
Yeah. I mean, I know the definition of travail.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly if it would be a woman giving birth.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. All the pain and everything associated with it. It's also associated with hope, joy, and new life. And we'll look at that in just a minute. The first mention of the word travail is found in Genesis 38:27. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that behold, twins were in her womb. First mention of the phrase, woman in travail, is Psalm 48:6. For though the kings were assembled, they passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled, they were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. So there we kind of get a picture of that end time. These kings are going to be fearful. They're going to be troubled. And you read that in the book of Revelations. The last mention is Micah 4. That should be a 10. I think it says 13 on your study.
4, 9, 10.
Yeah. Okay. 4:9-10. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered, where the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. So we see again the idea of judgment. The idea of judgment. We've got the word travail, so we've got heathen kings. Heathen is your blank, and fear of the king, Psalms 48:6. Jerusalem, and fear of approaching judgment, i.e. Babylon. Judgment upon Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was one of the last kings prior to Babylon taking Jerusalem. Then you have the coming Jacob's trouble. of the book of Revelations and the fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week, Jeremiah 30 verses 4 through 9. Judgment upon Gentile nations. Jeremiah 49, Jeremiah 50. Judgment on the world after the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So we see from the Bible that a woman in travail describes the anguish of wrath and judgment, is your blank, upon the rebellious and the ungodly. So it's not a good time. It's not a good time. Now, I personally have never experienced childbirth. But I have seen my wife go through it 5 times. And so it's not a pleasant time. I don't think I've ever heard a woman say, boy, that was one of the greatest things I ever experienced. But it also means hope, joy, and new life. There's hope in the future kingdom. Now, Micah 4, 11 through 13, this follows Micah 4, 9 through 10. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. So, the, you know, they're after the battle of Armageddon, they're wanting to come and wipe her out. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves unto the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Also joy to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John 16:19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And so even though the disciples were sad and they thought it was the end of the world for them, Christ had come back from the grave, and they did rejoice. And they turned the world upside down. So on your study guide, again, this travail will be during the 70th week of Daniel, when God finishes dealing with his indignation. His indignation towards the Jews due to their obstinate unbelief, and judge the world's rebellion against his Christ and being allied with the Antichrist. So indignation and rebellion. So everybody got their blank so far? No? I'm sorry. I tried to go slow enough. Well, just see me afterwards and we'll fill them in. And then number 6, or that should be number 7.
It's 6 on mine.
6 on yours? Okay, so you got 2 5s and a 6. All right.
We had 2 4s, too.
You had 2 4s. Wow. That's a good poker hand. So, denial of Jesus Christ. Denial is the blank. As we've already learned from 1 John, a key characteristic of the many antichrists is their denial of the divinity of Jesus Christ, his deity. You could put divinity or deity. They're both the same thing. We've looked at in detail in past lessons about this concerning the many antichrists. And certainly the antichrist is the apex of this denial. Daniel 7:25, it says of him, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. This creature will be noted for his blasphemy. And I'm not talking swearing or cursing. I'm talking words against Christ, words against God. And I've already shared with you some pretty blasphemous things that some of these so-called Christian pastors have said about Jesus Christ, who are behind pulpits and churches today. I mean, it's nothing compared to what's going to come out of this creature's mouth. Nothing compared to what's going to come out of this creature's mouth. He'll be speaking great words against the Most High. So these great words will be more than just mere cursing. Okay, so I'm ahead of myself. Mere cursing is your blank. They will be words designed to exalt the Antichrist while defaming the Lord Jesus Christ in the most shameful way in the ears of those who hear this vile creature speak. So I personally cannot imagine the blasphemy that will be coming out of this man's mouth. And then finally, number 7.
What was that last one?
Shameful. Yep. And then number 7, ultimate defeat. Ultimate defeat. Despite his power and influence, the Bible assures us of his ultimate defeat. Daniel 7:11. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. Daniel 7:25, you shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Daniel 11:45, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And then finally, Revelation 19:19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So his end is going to be quick and sudden, and he'll be cast alive into the lake of fire, along with the false prophet. And that will occur at the second coming of Jesus Christ, what a lot of people call the Battle of Armageddon. So any questions on anything that we've looked at so far? Okay. Y'all just kind of staring at me. Again, the church will not be a part of this. The church will not be a part of this. Now, do I have time to go into the rest of this? I never have enough time, do I? So I'm going to stop right there because I want to talk about a study of the weeks, more specifically the 70th week. Because it's in the study of the weeks, there's a lot of confusion in the church, and I think that's where a lot of folks get kind of mixed up. And some of the terminology in the book of Daniel, they try to apply to the church, and it cannot be applied to the church. It can only be applied to Israel. And I want to kind of show that from the Bible. And to me, it's one of the biggest arguments against the church passing through the tribulation. So I want to take my time on the study of weeks, so I'm not going to go there. So we're going to quit fairly early. And I know that's unusual for me. But I want to take my time in going through the study of the weeks because I think that will help in comprehending what that's all about. And I think it's very important for us to know that. Because again, like I said, there's lots of folks out there who are beginning to lean toward the church going to either the first half of the tribulation or all the way through the tribulation. And I want to go through these weeks and show to you why that is not so. So I'm going to stop there because I'm going to need the time, and I'm not going to have the time because I usually try to stop around 10 o'clock or 10:10 or 10:20. But I just want to take my time on this. So don't be too angry at me. Okay? All right, so we'll go ahead and close out in prayer, and then you guys can mingle and fellowship and go snack and drink coffee or whatever it is you want to do. All right? And if you miss any blanks, see me afterwards. We'll try to get them filled in.